There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential, and the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of.
I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Hey everyone, Ian from Eurogamer here, and I've made another trip down to Digital Foundry's lair, and this time I'm joined by the legend that is Rich Ledbetter to talk about Project Scorpio, because Rich, you went to Microsoft Redmond to find out all about it, is that right?
That is correct, yeah, I was invited to see the new console, you know, a good 6-7 months before it's going to be out, and yeah, impressive stuff.
Cool. Well, I think the big question everyone wants to know, the big question I want to know is Scorpio going to be better than the PS4 Pro?
Well, almost certainly, yes.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go. Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 649. This is your host, Danny. And joining me this week, we have Pete in the house.
What up?
And also Paris.
Hey, what's going on? A little under the weather, but I'm here. Important day.
He's here. Important day, man. Big day, especially for those Xbox fans out there. Finally, we got to hear the specs about the new hardware coming this holiday season.
Can I say one thing?
Yeah, sure.
You said Xbox fans. I think this is a good day for gaming fans, period.
Thank you. Well, I was going to say that. But thank you.
No, you're right. But of course, come on. But there's a lot of Xbox fans that also are excited. Ooh, so, yeah, hey, you're right.
Hey, there's some crazy ass ones on Twitter, too. But go ahead.
Yeah. That is true. All right. So head over to GamertagRadio.com or play.it/GamertaG. Listen to our past episodes there. And you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so let's start with the conversation right now, man. And I'm going to start with this because, you know, Paris and P, I heard, you know, them during the last episode saying that this will be like a great hardware for me to buy because of the power and all this stuff, 4K and all this stuff, because I don't have a PC, you know, like Paris and Pete. But, you know, I watched the video and I'm gonna be straight up honest with you guys. Like, I didn't understand a lot of what they were saying. To me, it was just like, it's not my thing, you know. But like I said from the beginning, and I've been saying this for a very long time, is that I really don't care much about the specs. And I know there's a big crowd that loves that. That's great. But for me, it's like, it's great, but I need to see the games, which is not the right time for that, which I understand. But, you know, but I watched a couple other videos there from Eurogamer and Digital Foundry. And I think it was the one like how this system will help, especially like those Xbox One games and Xbox 360, like some of the features they could do when you play on a Project Scorpio, like little things like that got my attention. But I'd rather hear more stuff about this, about the specs and all that stuff from Peter Paris. So whoever wants to start and your reaction, guys, too, go for it.
First, I think it would be better to give a quick recap of the specs before we dive, you know, we do this deep dive into it. So from a CPU perspective, mm-hmm. we're talking 8 custom x86 cores running at 2.3 gigahertz. The GPU is running at 1172 megahertz with 40 compute units. Memory is 12 gigs of GDDR5. Memory bandwidth is 326 gigabytes per second. Hard drive is 1 terabyte, 2.5 inch. They didn't denote the speed, So that's the one thing that I'm a little curious on. And it does have a built-in optical drive, 4K UHD Blu-ray. That being said, in comparison to everything else, I think it's a strong technical release. Obviously, we need to see it in performance from everything that Richard Ledbetter at Digital Foundry said it was very impressive. If you look at a comparison at what PS4 Pro delivers, it's relatively on par. And I say that because they're both using Jaguar cores. The only difference from a CPU perspective, the Scorpio is 2.3 gigahertz versus the 2.1 gigahertz on PlayStation 4 Pro. Both are using GDDR5. The only difference is Scorpio has four additional at 12, whereas the PS4 Pro has 8. Hard drive and storage drives are the same. AV output, the Scorpio is apparently has a hardware processor that'll allow it to do 7.1 Dolby Atmos. But the only outlier that separates it is the GPU. The GPU for the Pro is AMD Radeon running at 911 megahertz, and the Scorpio has an AMD Radeon with a clock speed at 1172. Now, Paris, I know we're just throwing numbers around here, and you know, from a technical perspective, I know he mentioned as well in the video that if you take the GPU, it's on par with the AMD R480 based on Polaris. Are you impressed with what Digital Foundry was allowed to check out from a technical perspective?
Yeah, I'm very impressed by it because Microsoft delivered on exactly everything that Phil Spencer said on that stage a year ago. So the fact that here we are now and we're on the cusp of its full reveal, price, etc., and we've now seen that, yeah, these are the final specs, and we've seen some actual real-world performance from said specs that, you know, Microsoft put probably some of the smartest hardware people on the planet behind designing this thing. So what you're seeing, and it's funny, coming from the PC perspective and looking at it from a console perspective, sure, the GPU, when you compare it to real world, compares to a 480. You're thinking, 480, I can't do native 4K. How the hell are they doing this? It's because they've streamlined everything and they've customized everything to this specific build. Sure, we're comparing it to off-the-shelf products, but they've taken all these off-the-shelf products and they've customized it to work at peak efficiency. So when you think of a PC, you're looking at it just using power just as brute force. Whereas on a console side, they're squeezing every ounce of power that they possibly can out of the same specs. You know what I mean? So it's very impressive to see what Microsoft has done with Project Scorpio. And yeah, on day one, it will be the most powerful console ever made. And the fact that we will be seeing native 4K 60 frames per second from their games is a highly impressive achievement, because to do that on the PC side, you're talking SLI-ing some 1080s or getting a 1080 Ti, or hell, NVIDIA on the sly today put out the new Titan XP. You know what I mean? Yep. You're going to spend some major cash to be able to replicate the same type of performance on the PC side. So, you know, I'm sure we'll get into price and all that stuff later on. But from a technical achievement, what they're doing on the hardware side with Project Scorpio, you know, is revolutionary in a lot of ways. I'm very impressed by this.
One thing that really got my attention is that I believe Richard from Digital Foundry, he went to Turn 10 and he got to see Forza on Project Scorpio. And he was talking to the developers and they said it took them 2 days to work on a game for Project Scorpio. For an engine like that, that's pretty impressive, man. Very impressive.
Well, I think the one thing you failed to mention is that, yeah, it took 2 days, but there was zero issues when porting that over. That's from a software perspective, whenever you're doing a port or you're copying code from one platform to another, there's always the expectation of a minimum of failure, right? You know, something is going to go wrong. And I guess that's the pessimist in us all. You hope for the best, expect the worst. And for it to flip over from Xbox One to Scorpio flawlessly with zero issues, it just worked, is, you know, it's not something that's very common, especially in the technical field. I'm not going to say I'm, you know, throwing the wallet at it, but if I was someone, you know, along the lines of some of the, you know, some of the listeners in our Discord community, we were talking to them earlier, or Danny, who is considering a potential jump. This is, I think, until we figure out what the number on the price wise is, you know, really can't make a full on determination, but I think this is a very, very strong move by Microsoft. It shows a lot of confidence. Again, having Digital Foundry and Eurogamer get that advanced early hands on and get a chance to go to the back and speak to the actual engineers and the architects behind this, not just play with a dev kit and go, but actually go back and talk to the people instrumental with putting this technology together, and finding out what is, you know, what it can and can't do. I mean, it's impressive tech.
It's very impressive too, because I think it was very smart for Microsoft to do this just now, 2 months before E3. Just let it out, invite a site that's very influential in the gaming community, you know, Digital Foundry, to Seattle, get to see everything, get to learn more about the specs and everything. And now their next move is already, that today's announcement was more of for like the super hardcore techies today, right? And I know we talked about this too. We've been going back and forth with P, and I've been going back and forth about this because he says, no, that's not going to happen, but I think so. But I think the next step is, okay, now you have the techies. Now the next step is get the mainstream audience and the casual gamers to get to see the hardware, have the name of the system and everything, and maybe show a couple other games for that, the reveal, right? And then at E3, just straight up, just show the games, mention the release date, and also the price for the console. In my opinion, that's what I think might happen, because this was the first step for Project Scorpio to get it out there to the masses. I mean, do you guys agree with me or not?
I mean, if you're asking my opinion on it, I do think they should have another event probably in May and just show off the console. Here's the console. Here's what it looks like. Here's the name, etc., and then save E3 strictly for games. I don't.
Duke disagrees. You go, Duke. You tell him.
It's all good.
My fear with that, and I get that. I know the three of us were talking about that this morning on our chat. Do you think that's wise, considering there's not much games to talk about
we don't know.
I understand. I get that. And I know, and I totally understand, because unless Microsoft has a couple of tricks up their sleeve that they haven't mentioned, you know, totally unannounced surprise type titles. I mean, I know we talked about Red Dead Redemption the other day, and I think one of our listeners mentioned to us that, you know, they've got a Sony marketing deal, so that might not be what we were hoping for. Is there another title? Because if not,
but you're speculating on something that we can't totally answer. We don't know. I mean, bottom line, like people have been saying all day on social media, I think it's been pretty universal. Project Scorpio, from a technical standpoint, looks fantastic. It looks amazing, but it means nothing if they don't have games that people want to play on it, right? So,
yep, totally agree.
So to sit here and speculate that in April about what games they're going to have, we don't know, because they're not going to tell us anything until E3.
Yeah. And here's one thing that everybody agrees, Paris and Pete. Microsoft is very confident with this project, with Scorpio, big time. I know they have the games. We just don't know. But if they're doing this really early in April to show, you know, the specs about the system, and maybe next month hopefully a private event to just promote more about the Project Scorpion and the official name and everything. If they do that, then they're really going to have the game. They're going to show a lot of games at E3. Now, if they have the hardware at E3 and that's more time right there, there's not going to be a lot of games probably they're not going to show. Because they're going to mix everything together in for like a presentation for 90 minutes.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
Right. And that is the overall concern that most people have right now. And look, despite what some people may think, you know, I look at Project Scorpio and am I going to run out and throw my wallet at it? No, but it looks very interesting to me. Obviously, I need to see what games are on it. I need to see what the price is going to be, etc. But is it a possibility that an Xbox can be in my household again? Sure it is. But at the same time, I don't necessarily need it because I already have a PC. And we've talked about that to death. But they got to deliver on games. They have to. It, because, you know, and even Danny, because you alluded to this already, because, again, you're the actual classic example of this. You already have an Xbox One S. It sounds like you don't have any desire to run out and go get a 4K television anytime soon. So where's your incentive to go get Project Scorpio? And I know they're going to do some of the super sampling stuff to downsample to 1080p and make it attractive to 1080p owners. But if you already have an Xbox One S and all the games are going to be an Xbox One S, they have to show you why. Hey, sure, you can play this on Xbox One S, but look how amazing it's going to be on Project Scorpio, whether you have a 4K television or not. That's really the big thing that they're going to have to do at E3.
I think to me, it's more about the games and maybe show me a couple things like why I should buy the console too. You know, maybe the features or whatever, like you talked about the 1080p and so on, whatever. That's fine. But show it to me. I need to see more. Like today it wasn't for me. It was more for you, Paris, and for you, Pete, that are really into that stuff. And I know there's a crowd out there that, you know, are into the whole PC and upgrading their PC and stuff. But today it wasn't for me. It wasn't for me at all. You know, I'm a fan of Xbox, but show me why I need to buy the system. Well, you know, and I think if I think that they doing it the right way, get this thing out right now before it gets leaked out and all that stuff. And now go to the next step. Now I think May and June is for me.
Now
if they do this right.
Now, how much of an incentive is it to you that it's going to improve the performance of 360 games and current Xbox One games on Project Scorpio? Is that something that's an incentive to you?
It depends. Like, I don't have a 4K TV, but if they show me the right things, that maybe some features or something that's going to improve their experience for me as a gamer, then yeah, I'll go buy it. But honestly, like, I'm not that type of person. Like, man, I care about power and graphics. Like, I've never been that type of person since day one, you know. And there's a lot of people that probably are in the same boat as me. You know, they're not into the whole power and all that. They just care about software.
So, quick question. I know you said you're not in, you know, the graphics isn't the thing that sells you, right?
Yeah.
Follow up. It's more like a supplemental question. Do you have a larger first party or third party library on your Xbox?
It was breaking up. What happened?
Do you have bigger third party or bigger first party library of games on your Xbox One?
Tell you the truth, I have every single first party game because remember we get reviews copies, so I automatically get that. But I mean, I have more third party, of course, because there's more third party games out there.
Because right, and the reason I ask is because knowing that Xbox One pretty much has a graphical limitation, except for first party games, third parties are typically around that 720-900p resolution. If you could get better performance from a game, whether it be game launching, etc., and get additional graphical assets to get you to that 1080p. I think we know the answer to A, which is, do you care? And in your case, it's not a showstopper for you. So no, you don't. But
no,
would that be something that would entice you to get to immerse yourself into the game more because now you're able to get you know, less jaggies, more, you know, more graphical assets into your game experience. Would that be something that could potentially turn that wheel to the yes?
Yeah, but I need to see it. I need to play it and see it. I can't, like, right now, all the, like, when people talk about, like, the specs and talk, like, it's not really pumping me up to buy the system and pre-order the system, you know? But when they show it to me, and it depends on the presentation, they show it to me, I'll get hype. You know, like, right now, what is the most talked about game of this year so far? And it's been Zelda. The Switch is not powerful. You know, what matters is the software, man. You know, and I think that behind the scenes, I think Microsoft is doing this the right way. You know, there's a group for this. There's another group for the games, you know. And there's another group that just care about, like, just everything, like, you know. So I think by seeing what happened today, I'm confident that they're going to have a pretty good library in June, you know. So anything else you guys want to bring up?
Well, I mean, I think system? I think it's just a common theme, and we've all talked about this. I think you'd just be happy if we could ultimately stop fighting about graphics.
Yeah, but it's true. Like, it's like competition is great because look what happened because of competition.
Oh, no, Microsoft absolutely. A good game doesn't really need to be the top of the line graphics and all the other stuff.
No.
Racing for graphics at the end of the day, if you really want to sit down and jot this down from a project manager type perspective, all you're doing is keeping the cost of development high, keeping the cost of the devices high, maybe even keeping indies out because now they don't have the resources to keep up like the big powerhouse developers normally have. And the end result is a prettier game, but not necessarily a game that plays better.
Yeah. I mean, let me ask you this, guys. Like, what is it that got your attention the most out of the whole video presentation today?
Easy.
Was there
4K, what? 60 frames per second? what have I been saying the past probably 3 months? If you want Project Scorpio to stand out from the PlayStation 4 Pro and justify, which I'm sure we should talk about price here in a second, and justify however much it's going to cost, it needs to hit those check boxes. Native 4K, 60 frames per second. And the fact that they were able to take Forza 6 and not even optimize it and hit native 4K, 60 frames per second is very impressive. Now, show me Halo, show me Gear, show me Crackdown, show me all these games that we're expecting to see on the system also doing that. Now you have my attention. Now you are truly the beast, as Aaron Greenberg says on Twitter every other day. It's what we're...
It does.
Yeah. But no, it's true, though. This could be the thing that gets Microsoft, get gamers' attention to come back to Xbox. You know what I mean? I mean, like I said, it has my attention. You know, you're showing me that you're going to make the extra effort, you know, at least on the hardware side, to try and bring me back into the Xbox ecosystem. Now, show me the games. Mm-hmm. It's really that simple.
I'm glad you brought that, the Forza thing about how, you know, just it was, you know, a pain-free port. But the one key thing that really jumped out at me on that particular piece was that it was only running at 60% utilization with no optimization, just straight port. So to run that well, that smoothly, and not even taxing the GPU goes to show that, you know, they put a lot of effort. And I think another thing that they tried to make sure that they got over was that software was what defined the hardware this time around, as opposed to the hardware defining and limiting what the developers could do. And I think that, you know, that, like you said, shows that Xbox is really putting a lot of thought and effort into this. Some of the things that stood out for me was having a hardware DX12 processor on board.
Yes.
That in turn gives you the opportunity to have that 4K 60 experience with minimal impact to the device. That APB that I mentioned earlier, which was the audio processing block that allows it to do the graphic and audio processing and giving you that 7.1 Atmos. The vapor chamber cooling assembly that they mentioned, similar to what's currently in use in 1080 series GPUs, that was another thing that stood out for me. I don't know if the game DVR.
I think a lot of things stood out for you, Pete.
Good. From a technical perspective, you know, considering really Paris and I were always, you know, looking, and yeah, my ears perked up too when I heard about, you know, Nvidia saying, you know, we've got all the teraflops, we've got 12, at the same time, you're paying a grand for every teraflop, right? Or you're paying $100 for every teraflop at $1,200. Yeah, that Titan XP is nice, but at $1,200, you know, that's a much smaller niche community that you're appealing to at that point, you know?
Now, I think that my dream is not going to come true this year.
Well, I'm glad you finally realized that, though.
Because I've been saying that this system might cost $399, because that would be good for competition and everything. But reading what everybody's been saying, this might cost way more than that. $499 maybe minimum. But here's the thing. What if they said out of nowhere $399? Out of nowhere, though. Even though everybody thinks it's gonna be $499. Do you think that's it's crazy for them to do that?
Yes. And here's my opinion really quick, and then you can go back to Dreamland. I think you should just expect $499. And then if it's cheaper or if it's more expensive, set your expectations accordingly. But I think you should walk into that E3 press conference and expect Phil Spencer to say that it's going to be $499.99. Anything less is a very pleasant surprise. But looking at these specs, looking at the performance of what this thing is going to do, it's crazy talk to think it's cheaper. And I'll say again, where's their incentive to cut the price on this? Because they have already set expectations that this will be a premium product. And they're giving you, like you love to say, Danny, they're giving you the choice. Go get the Xbox One S or go get the original Xbox One. You're still playing the same games. Or go build your own PC. You're still playing the same games. That's the way they're going to present this as. They're not going to force you in 2017 to pick up a Project Scorpio to play Xbox games. It is a premium luxury to be able to have Project Scorpio, and it's going to be catered towards the higher end gamer playing on 4K, you know, Dolby Atmos, all that. That's who they're trying to cater to. And for everyone else, the average consumer, hey, look at this Xbox One S we're selling to you for $199. Cause cut the price on it, make it as cheap as possible. Sense. And those things fly off shelves. That's what I think. I think that's the play here. So I'm expecting $500.
Now, the thing with that too, Paris, you also got to think about the competition too, because they always, Microsoft and Sony always been going at it when it comes to like prices, and like it happened with the launch of PlayStation 4 and the launch of Xbox One. People were saying, oh, Xbox is too expensive. Sony is cheaper. And now with this, isn't it kind of all over again? The Pro is cheaper than the Xbox, the Project Scorpio.
But console? On the high end, yes. But on the lower end, Xbox One S will be cheaper than PlayStation 4, or they'll be the same price. I'm telling you, $199 just makes too much sense for Xbox One S. So make it $199. And if PS4 wants to drop down to that as well, okay, you guys are competing on the low end. Sure. Scorpio is more expensive on the high end than what PS4 Pro is, because I fully expect it to be $350. So, but you don't market that you're competing against PS4 Pro. You're saying we have the most powerful console on the planet, and go look at the difference when you're playing the games. Look at the performance. Look at ours is native 4K, HDR, 60 frames per second on all our high end games. You're paying for that premium. You know what I'm saying? That's how you market
that's
it.
True. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Now, do you think, and you could jump on in and say and answer this too. Do you guys think that in the future, do you think there's going to be games that's only going to be available for Project Scorpio in the future because of the power of the system? That's not going to be available for Xbox One S.
Yes.
Say that again.
No, go ahead, Pete. Go ahead.
No, I just, okay. So, I know the byline now is no one gets left behind. And it's funny, cause I can't hear that line without thinking of Stitch. you know, no one gets left behind or forgotten. And that's supposed to be the recurrent, that's supposed to be the running theme for Xbox moving forward, is that it doesn't matter if you're on PC or if you're on Xbox One or you're on Scorpio or Xbox One S, no games get left behind. But eventually, that isn't always the case. And whether that's because they just move up a gen, and I know that the comment was, and I know the theme is that this is a mid-gen upgrade, Mike, you know, and we could talk about this after that, is, you know, well, if this is only mid-gen, why bother now? Why not just go next-gen now and consider the Xbox One a loss? But I guess it's maybe because they want to be able to keep both ecosystems alive and well, because not everyone's going to buy a Scorpio, obviously. You know, that's going to be the higher tier end for niche customers. The hopeful one in me says I want it to stay like that. I'd like for, you know, the hardware not to define the sales. But the realist in me says that, who knows, maybe 2-3 years down the line, things have changed from a hardware perspective. Who knows? Maybe we see this cross-platform, you know, unicorn that everyone talks and allows us to play regardless of hardware, right? But I don't know. The realist in me says I wouldn't be surprised if 2-3 years from now the change comes where, okay, now we're no longer allowing, you know, one game across all platforms. I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence for now, but like I said, the realist in me is thinking maybe.
And you, Paris?
Oh yeah. Going back to, cause I said yes, but what I think is eventually when there's whatever the next Xbox beyond this one is, quote unquote, the Xbox One goes into 360 legacy mode, so to speak, so that you aren't necessarily making games that work 100% with the Xbox One. I've talked about this in the past. I think PlayStation does something similar when PlayStation 5 comes out, to where the Pro then becomes the quote unquote baseline and PS4 becomes the legacy device. You know what I mean? So I can see that happening, you know what I mean, as they step forward, but there will be a backwards compatibility component to those other Xbox One games. But I do see a thing where, you know, Xbox 2E5 or whatever the hell they'll call it, right, comes out, and then you'll be able to have games that work on that, but also would still work on what currently Project Scorpio is. I can see a scenario like that, but what Phil Spencer said, I think, will hold true for years to come, to where, yeah, they're not going to leave anyone behind anytime soon. I mean, if you walk into, and it's funny, actually, shout out to Spawn on me, because Cicero Holmes and I have a standing bet.
That
when they name this thing, I'm convinced they're going to take the one out of this. It'll be called Xbox blankety blank, but he's convinced, and he's even said it more specific now, they're going to call it Xbox One Infinite. That's what he thinks. I think he's crazy, right? But I was thinking,
I think you're both kind of right, because I think it's going to be, I mentioned this to,
I love how Danny just completely just took over what I was saying. Go ahead, please.
No,
tell us our thoughts.
Yes, please tell me what I was about to say, please.
All right, so no.
He can't even do it with a straight face because he knows it's true.
finish and I'll come back around.
I think it's going to be called Xbox, but it's going to be Xbox One. And if you put, I don't know,
you going off of that stupid rumor. I told you that's the dumbest name I've ever heard. They're going to say
Xbox One X.
Yeah, Xbox One what, X.
Xbox One X.
And it spells out the X. No. Please,
that
they
just
do,
might be worse than your fuller console stand
up, I will stand up in the Galen Center on Sunday afternoon and just boo. I will just start booing, because that's the dumbest name I've ever heard.
Xbox One X is not enough? Is not?
No.
But look at PlayStation 4 Pro. Really, Paris? You think Pro?
Can I steer this back into what I was saying? Because now you're going down a completely different rabbit hole.
Go.
Wow, he's like, just go. Like, I'm wrong for wanting to finish my thought. Unbelievable. Okay, so again, Cicero and I have the standing bet. He thinks it's going to be called Xbox One Infinite. I don't think they're going to call it Xbox. They're going to take one out of the equation completely, right? But I have to admit, and I pinged him earlier before we started recording, I had a thought, because I was looking at my copy of Horizon Zero Dawn, and it's literally just the same You know, I have a physical copy. So I'm looking at the box and I go, PlayStation hasn't changed their branding of their games at all, despite the Pro being out, right? So we know it works on the Pro because PS4 is still in the name of the Pro, right? So whether you have the Pro or the original one, those games just work. So I was thinking if an average consumer walks into a Best Buy and they change the branding of the way that the games are presented, that would be confusing. So you kind of have to keep Xbox One because it works on the original Xbox One, the One S, and whatever Scorpio is going to be, right? So I hate to admit this, but now I almost see what Crazy Cicero has been saying, that they almost got to keep One in the name on some level, right? Or you're going to start confusing people, because if I walk into a store in November and see Crackdown 3, it has to say Xbox One on it. It has to. Because it works on the Xbox One and it's going to work on Scorpio. You know what I mean? So on that level, I kind of see what he's saying. Now, damn it, I hate to admit that, but I see what he's saying. So now I won't be surprised. I'm probably going to lose this stupid bet now.
So most likely it will be Xbox One X.
No, I'm thinking somewhere along the lines of maybe Xbox One or Xbox One, like Xbox One Prime or Xbox Prime.
But that's what I'm saying. They got to keep the One in there because it sounds weird. Because like if I want to play Sunset, if I go pick up Sunset Overdrive, I need to know.
Oh, you got to chop that one up, Danny. You got to chop that audio up later, Danny, please.
I know, because it's fantasy. That's never happened. My point is it being an older game, right? If I get Sunset Overdrive or if I get Crackdown 3, those two boxes in a retail store have to look identical. Because you don't know if I'm going to play it on the Scorpio, if you don't know if I'm going to play it on the original Xbox One. You see what I'm saying? So in that sense, it has to keep One in the name. And I hate that I'm agreeing with Cicero, but I see what he's saying now. Damn it.
But it's like the iPhone. They have different iPhones, but it's still the same iPhone.
Yeah, it's exactly. I'm glad you brought that up. It was actually a talking point. At the end of the day, whether you have the Xbox One or whatever the Scorpio is going to be called, you can at the end, you still have an iPhone, right? It just depends on whether you can brag to your friends. Like, really, like, you'll have common hardware available that runs the same software across a range of hardware and a range of price points. The only concern is if you'll have people skipping future generations of the platform, like most people do for mobile phones. You think that is a thing? Like, let's say I go off the crazy train and I decide, you know, let me get a Scorpio. Will that hold me off to the next, you know, if this truly is a mid-gen upgrade? I mean, does this mean that we're looking at potential another hardware piece 3, 4, 5 years down the line? Because I don't think PlayStation, let's say Sony or Microsoft, is going to go along with that same 10-year platform life cycle that we've somewhat gotten accustomed to between the last couple of iterations. Now we've shrunk that down to about 3 to 5 years. And if you really think about it, they've kind of followed the whole iPhone, iPhone S, next version, iPhone, iPhone S, next version concept. Is that something you can see people doing?
Oh, you're asking me?
I'm asking either of you.
Because I figured if I started talking, Danny would answer it for me, so I wasn't going to say anything.
My God, it's like you being on Paris, Twitter again.
I'm letting you talk.
Wow. Well, thank you, sir.
You have permission to speak.
But again, the key word there, like you bringing up the iPhone example, is iPhone. Mm-hmm. And that way you know, all right, no matter what, this is associated with an iPhone. Again, I'm literally looking at, because I don't have an Xbox retail disc in front of me or box. I'm sure Danny has like 10,000 of them, but I'm looking at Horizon Zero Dawn, and it clearly says PS4 on the top of it, right? But it does work on the Pro. So I'm thinking, flip that to Crackdown 3. It has to say Xbox One, and it can't just say Xbox, because that's going to confuse me. Now, does it work on my Xbox One, or do I need it on this Xbox Scorpion thing? Where does it work? It's going to say Xbox One on it still.
Imagine they call it Scorpion.
Scorpion.
Or Emerald.
Oh, that would be amazing.
That would be amazing. You'll have to find that audio.
But you get my point, though, right? I'm just thinking from a consumer standpoint, from a marketing standpoint, you don't want to confuse people that haven't upgraded to Project Scorpio. Because, again, we're saying this is a premium product, right? So you want to make sure that people know that if I walk into Best Buy and buy this brand new game, it still works on my Xbox One, and I don't have to upgrade text. Mm-hmm. But again, it's kind of the whole Wii U scenario where people got confused thinking, oh, well, Wii U games still work on the Wii because it says Wii in it, right? So you kind of, you have to make that distinction so people understand they don't have to upgrade to play the games.
Now, my question to you guys is this. Do you think that the hardware, once they show it to the public, do you think it's going to be a really big, huge system compared to the original Xbox mm-hmm. One? Is it going to be a little bit more like smaller, but nice, heavier? Well, like
the microwave, the Xbox microwave? Well,
I mean, again, if you go with what Richard Ledbetter was saying, that he was hinting, and obviously he hasn't seen the final form, but they're talking about the advanced cooling that it's going to do. What was it? Vapor cooling he was talking about? It sounds
vaporware.
Like it.
Oh, my God.
It's going to have, you know, it's going to have, what's the word I'm looking for? The power. It's not going to have a power brick. The power is going to be inside power. It's integrated power. Thank you.
Okay.
I'm thinking this is going to have a more sleek design similar to Xbox One S, to be honest with you. You'll probably be bigger than Xbox One S. But it's not going to be the tank that the original Xbox One was at all. I don't think so.
Because the Pro is a little bit bigger than the original PlayStation 4, right?
Yeah. But it's not ridiculously big or anything. Like I'm right. looking at it right now. It's still a sleek feature.
Fundamentally, all it is really they just SLI'd GPUs on the Pro, correct?
Basically, yeah.
So yeah, it had to be bigger to accommodate
and overclock the CPU.
The CPU, right? So essentially, you had to be able to accommodate A, cooling for overclocking, and B, accommodate the second GPU. Whereas this is, you know, granted, they're starting from the ground up on this, but I don't know. I'm thinking somewhere between launch Xbox One and the Xbox One S, like Paris said, it's got to, and also no Kinect. Slot.
Oh, that Kinect is dead. Come on. But
S doesn't have it. Yeah.
Right.
Well, here's my second question now. If this is going to be a premium product, what about the controller? Is that going to be something like the Elite that came out?
Well,
ago?
The fact that they've already made it clear that your current Xbox One controllers will work on Project Scorpio. I think you keep the Elite as its own separate. You got to go buy it as a premium thing versus, you know, passing that expense on. Because again, they're going to want to make this as cheap as possible. So if you put an Elite controller in there, this is adding to the cost of it. I don't think they will. I think they'll just put the 1S controllers in there.
Did they detail how many USB slots?
No, I don't think we've heard that.
Hold on, I've got the art.
Pete, that'll be at the May reveal.
actually, go, no. Paris. According and I could be wrong because I'm going off of artwork I got off Twitter. So there's 50% chance it's correct, 50% chance it's wrong.
75.
Okay.
Okay, but it says input output super speed USB 3.1 Gen 1 times 3. Right, so 3 potential USB ports because I believe that's what Pro has. Right, it's got 3 USB ports. What are the chances of keyboard mouse support?
I think that's a great
native,
question.
Native, not by, you know, not by putting in an adapter or what have you, but what are the chances? Because if this is supposed to potentially compete against PC or give people an opportunity to get that PC Master Race experience, what are the chances of native keyboard mouse support?
I think there's a chance. I wouldn't hold my breath, but it would shock me if it did.
Hey, you know what I just thought right now?
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Dream.
And you know what?
Cue the dream sounds.
Honestly, this makes sense. I think this system is going to be called Xbox One X, and I tell you why right now. Windows 10. 10 is the Roman numeral of what? 10 is X? Is it possible?
Did you just like, does this just come up like in the Emerald gearbox upstairs, or was this something you read on Twitter?
No, I'm serious. I just thought about it right now because I was like, but why X? I'm thinking, why X? Why X? I'm like, wait a minute, that's 10. Could it be because, you know, to promote also Windows 10 to keep it like in the family type thing in Microsoft? It makes sense. I don't know. I might be wrong, but
it's still Xbox if you spell it out. So your original concept, it's not like same thing.
I'm just saying.
You're crazy.
Paris, make sure to be booing them because I think that was going to be you.
It's you funny. He just reworded something he said earlier that we rebunked, that we debunked.
I don't know.
As a new thought. I love it.
I was thinking about it, man, you know, but it's all good. See, you see Paris stay super quiet.
I'm staying quiet because, you know, I think this is absolutely ridiculous. They're not going to do that.
Why not?
Boo! You got a preview. That's what I'm going to do.
I think nameless Microsoft employee just might name it that just to get you to do that.
Yeah, I think I might have to reach out to nameless Xbox employee. If y'all call this Xbox One X, I will start booing. So we have security ready to escort me out of the Gala Center. I think I'm going to do that. Dude, Danny, there's a better chance of Phil Spencer walking on that stage and going, not one, not two, not three, but four consoles.
Oh my God.
That'll happen before they say Xbox One X. Even Cicero Holmes is laughing at that one. It's ridiculous. They're not going to do that one.
I think Infinite's too long. I don't know. Just saying.
Look, just to steer the ship back real quick before we get out of here.
Yeah.
I honestly, just real talk, all BS joking aside, I am very excited about what I saw today as far as the specs, because it shows me that Microsoft was serious. There was no backtracking from what they said a year ago. This will advance console gaming in the future. You know, because look, if they can get third parties on board so that you're clearly seeing a difference between third-party games on the Scorpio versus on PS4 Pro, that's a huge win for them moving forward. You know what I mean? Because now consumers are going, well, gee, maybe I should go get the Project Scorpio to play my third-party games and not play it on PlayStation. You know what I mean? But the biggest thing they got to do is, dude, they gotta deliver exclusive content that we're like, wow. Like, I want to see Halo 6 on Project Scorpio, and I'm like, wow, I got to play this because this looks amazing on Project Scorpio. You know what I mean?
And look, even the story is like Halo 5. I'm messing with you.
See, I was trying to be serious. And then he steered it down silly street once again. No, but what I was going to say was, obviously, you know, people like Pete and I are in a unique situation because Xbox Play Anywhere is a viable option for us because we have PCs that can rival or better the performance that we would see on Project Scorpio. But look, at the same time, we're spending triple the cost of whatever Project Scorpio is going to be to have similar performance. So for the average person that has no interest in building a PC, Project Scorpio is an exciting opportunity to get high-end PC performance for a reasonable price in your living room on your 4K television. That's how I look at Project Scorpio. And snark aside from certain people on social media, if I get one, I get one. Because you don't know why? I'm a grown-ass man from St. Petersburg, Florida. It's my money and I do whatever the hell I want to do. How about that? But I mean, we'll see this holiday. I'm not saying yes. I'm not saying no. I mean, we'll see this holiday. I can't answer that question in April. I have to wait to see what happens at E3, the gaming lineup. It's the whole thing. But I'm not going to say no, I'm not getting one, because that's crazy. Who knows what I might do in November?
So in May, which Paris, you know, it's going to happen. In May, when they show the hardware, which game should they show first? As like, oh, this is what we could do.
I'm telling you, Gears 4. I'll keep saying it. Show Gear. Now, is it Gears 4? Hell, I can't keep with the numbers anymore. Gears 4. Show Gears 4. It's a game from last year that debuted on Xbox. Show that in 4K, native, 60 frames per second, ultra, the whiz bang boom, saying, look what we could do with one of our old games. Show that. And then sneak in a brand new game. Well, because you're saying the May event, right? So they're not going to show any new games until E3. No. But yeah, the May game, show Gears 4. That's what I would do.
I think they should show The Witcher.
It's a third-party game.
Witcher 3. Good, because that's, I mean, you need third-party support,
I see what
right?
you're saying. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Show off, hey, look, this is what Project Scorpio can do with a third-party game. And you know I agree.
Exactly.
Witcher 3 is a showcase. If they can look, hey. If you can show me Witcher 3 the way that I see it now on my PC on Project Scorpio, and it would be that way in my living room, I got life choices to make. So that's what I want to see. But I think, and I know some people will give me crap for that. Oh, look at Paris. Oh, he's talking about, he's going to get Project Scorpio. I knew you'd come back. I don't care about what console or PC I play on. I just care about quality games. Honestly, that's all I freaking care about. So I go where the games are. So if the games are on Project Scorpio and that is the best possible experience I can have for gaming, guess what? I'm probably going to go get Project Scorpio. But to rival my PC, there's a lot that they still have to show me to rival what I can do currently on my PC. That's all I'm saying. But I will say this. Games will be better on a console on Project Scorpio than they will be on PS4 Pro. That's going to happen because just the raw hardware tells me that there will be better experiences on Project Scorpio than there will be on PS4 Pro. That's just a fact.
And you, Pete, before we wrap it up, what game does this show, in your opinion, to get you hype?
I think we're going to see Gears 4 because that, I think, from a first-party perspective, that and Forza Horizon. You know what? I think... Okay, so I'm not a big racing person, so I... And if I am, it's more the cartoony Need for Speed style. Is Forza Horizon just a mid life cycle game, or is that like a full release? Like, are we still pending a full Forza release game?
Yeah, it's called Forza 7. It's coming this holiday.
It's coming this holiday. Yeah.
I think that if there's going to be one, it's going to be that'll probably be their showcase Scorpio game. I don't think it's they can show Gears because Gears, I'm sure, is going to look fantastic. It's first party. It's going to take advantage. You know, they'll be able to take advantage of it. I'm sure they're working on it now with Coalition. But I think the full on Forza release is going to be their showcase game. I'd like to say something like Crackdown, but I just don't think it's going to be it. Honestly, I'd like for them to pop out something that nobody expects to be their showcase game and just have everybody just draws, you know, just slam onto the floor at the Galen Center. That would be ideal. You know, just
here. Yeah. No, go for it.
No, just that being the showcase game. I'm pretty the realist in me is saying it's going to be a full on Forza release, but something is telling me no, they've got something up their sleeve. Hopefully, because they need it, you know, because there is a lack of first party games that people want, right? And that people be hyped for. And I think that might be what we're going to get.
You know what's going to be a little bit tricky, which I think that's one of the things that it kind of hurt Sony when they were showing PlayStation 4 Pro, is the audience watching from their computer, their phones, or whatever they're streaming the live stream of the conference, right? I think that now that there's a lot of people now with Xbox One S, they should have a 4K streaming of their reveal or press conference. So those that are watching this in 4K, they could tell the difference. Like, wow, that's a huge, huge difference. Because honestly, it's kind of hard to show that to somebody that doesn't have 4K. So it's like a little bit tricky for them. Like, how Microsoft could pull that off to get the attention from everybody else that don't have a 4K. Am I right? You guys are kind of quiet here, but.
Well, I figured you would just give my answer for me, but no, I mean, you're right. That's the trick. that's the trick. They have to show non 4K owners why Project Scorpio is worth it to them. But like I also said, on the flip side, they are going to present this as a premium product, you know? So they've already said, hey, they're going to show the 1080p, the super sampling and all that. But then, you know, when the price and all that comes down, they're going to go, hey, we're not forcing you to buy this thing. You already have an Xbox One S, so you can play our games on that. But if you decide you want to get a 4K, you want to upgrade, Well, here you go. Here's Project Scorpio for you, and look what it can do too.
Yep.
Pete, anything else before I rip it up?
No, I think that's it. I think we're good. I think we've qualified fully what everybody wants to know.
Side note, I've done everything possible in Destiny 1 now that I've done all the Atheon challenge modes. So I'm great. I love it. All right.
Does that mean you're done? You're not playing anymore?
Oh, I keep playing because I'm having fun playing it. But,
good, because I need you to carry me in the raid.
No, but I mean, I just say that. I've literally, now that I've done the Atheon challenge mode, I mean, I've done every in-game piece of content in that
Racing
game.
League? Sparrow Racing League?
That never appealed to me.
So you didn't do everything.
Well, because I didn't want to.
So he's like 99.9% yeah. done.
And that's not in-game content. That's just silly racing stuff.
All right. So head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it/gamertag. Listen to our past episodes. And you also can find us on Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
One last thing. My prediction, I think this system is coming out the second week of November of 2017. So let me look at my calendar here.
So the same week as Call of Duty. I'll take you on that bet. Sounds about right.
Woo! What's the bet?
There's no bet. I'm agreeing with him. Not Jesus, can I agree with Danny for once?
Yeah. I know, man. He's just hating. So I think it's going to be either the 7th or the 10th of November. That week. Most likely the 7th.
No, it makes sense. That's what I mean. That's the same. Well, actually, no. You know what? I'm going to disagree with you, actually. No, I think it comes the week after that.
The 14th?
Because I think, you know, they don't want to take any shine away from one of their big publishing partners in Activision. That's Activision week. That's Call of Duty week. I don't think they'll launch the same week as Call of Duty. I think Call of Duty will come out, and then Scorpio will come out right after that, a few days later.
Even if they have a marketing deal with PlayStation?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Pete, what's your prediction?
Hey, it's just my opinion. Yeah, I know you'll disagree with it. You know, whatever.
I know it's coming out in November. I'm just prediction. The 7th.
Yeah, I think it's holiday release. I don't know if I can tie it down. I'd probably say second week. Let's do November 13th, just because that's my birthday.
So this is like a birthday gift for people. All right. So we're gonna wrap it up and anything else, guys?
I hope it comes out on October 20th. I hope it comes out on October 20th. No.
That's not gonna happen.
No, you guys aren't getting the joke.
Yeah, it's your birthday.
No. What are we doing on October 20th?
Oh my God. We got to talk about this.
Yes, thank you.
That's right. Good. Look at you. Good job.
Wow, that's very slick.
God, you guys can't get anything subtle. Just got to blast it out. Jeez.
All right. So there's a cruise, a video game cruise, happening October 20th through the 23rd, I believe.
Yes.
And we got invited. We're in there, the whole GTR crew. We're all going, man. And we're going to the Bahamas. And there's going to be a lot of people there, man, that got invited too.
Videogamergauntlet.com is where you can get all of your information.
Yes, videogamergauntlet.com. Exactly, yep. So, yeah, we're going there October 20th through the 23rd. Going to the Bahamas. And, of course, they're going to have an exhibit hall there. You can play some games there, VR, cosplay, tournaments, the whole nine during the whole weekend while we're going to the Bahamas. So for more information, go to videogamergauntlet.com. And, you know, any listeners out there that would like to go, check it out. Registration goes live on Tuesday in the morning. And go all out. Hopefully we see somebody from the GTR community there. That'll be awesome for us to hang out and stuff, you know? So anything you guys want to say? Oh, by the way, that's Paris's birthday weekend. So we're going to be celebrating Paris B-Day. Woo! So everybody chip in to get Paris a Scorpio. Paris.
I'm messing with you. I'm done. Okay.
I'm messing around. So you guys excited or what for the trip, man? This is going to be awesome, though, man. Yeah, I've never been on a cruise. This is my first time on a cruise. Yeah. Hmm.
I was on a cruise for 5 years of my life.
That's true. That's true. Last thing you want to be doing is getting cooped up on a boat for 5 days with people.
That's different.
No, but yeah, well, I've done cruises. I've done 3 day quick cruises. I've done 1 week cruises through the Caribbean. It's a lot of fun. There's only 2,500 spaces available, and this is going to be taking off on the Royal Caribbean Majesty of the Seas, which is one of the bigger class boats that Royal Caribbean's on. I've done like three or four Royal Caribbean cruises, so I know what they have to offer. And it's leaving out of Port Canaveral, which is Central Florida. It's literally like a 1 hour drive east of Orlando, and then going around the islands. I think stopping by Nassau, Coco Cay, which is Royal Caribbean's private island, then back into port. So I'm usually the one with the tempered expectations, but yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it looks fun, man. So yeah, man, I'm going to have the CEO and he's handling all this, the whole trip, Curtis. I'm going to have him next week on the podcast. So you can talk more about the cruise and everything. So stay tuned only here on Gamertag Radio. So until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.